Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Kids Music. It is our return show. My name is Ian Eisenberg. I am here in New York. And along with me in California is Jay Logan. Hi, Jay. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, Ian. I'm out here in California. And it's great. Great day out here. A little rainy, but still a great day.
Yes, it's sunny. It's not sunny California yet. It's sunny New York. There's been a lot of rain last week that got rid of a lot of the snow and even stranded some people on secret islands and stuff like that. So,
wow,
like
kind of like Gilligan's Island, stranded on the island, kind of like that?
Something like that. I mean, it was just ridiculous where I just couldn't leave. I was just there was water surrounded on both sides of the parking lot, so I just took me time. And but you know what? I'm alive. I'm well. I'm home. My phone works. I think that this is going to be a big day, Jay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad that you're safe and sound, so we can do our show, Parents Kids and Music.
Absolutely, Parents Kids Music. Parents Kids Music, as we do every basically on a weekly basis, is a show where we discuss the relationships between people, whether they are adults or their children, with their parents, and whether they're around and in their lives or not, along with their children. Basically, it's the relationships that people have with their parents and children when it comes to music, and what your life has been like as a result of the influence that your parents, that people had from their parents growing up, becoming music fans. Jay, are you okay?
Yes, I am great.
Good. Is that a little scary about there? Yeah, so this part of the show, Jay usually tells us about a wonderful child who has been creating some great music. So who do we have this? Who do we have on today's show? I was going to say this week, but we're actually doing two shows this week. We're also going to have another show on Friday. So, Jay, who is our kid of the day?
The kid of the day is Maria Aragon. And she's like a 10-year-old girl. She's kind of Canadian and Filipino. And she's a singer from Winnipeg. It's kind of extraordinary what happened to her. What happened was she was singing a cover song by Lady Gaga, Born This Way. And I guess she posted it on her sister's YouTube, and voila, a virus started. And she's got like a whole bunch of views. And then Lady Gaga, it caught her eye, and she was so impressed that she retweeted it. And it to her 8 million followers, and it caused a sensation. And basically, this little girl has like 22 million views now, 22 million.
Million.
Yeah, a million. It's
that's not 100. That's not 1,000. That's million views.
It's extraordinary. And within 1 week, she got 10 million. it's incredible. She can sing instead of piano, which is what the show is about. Kids playing music and parents. And her sister and her mom, and they all encourage her. And now she has 22 million followers or subscribers, which is great.
I think the amazing thing about this, Jay, is that Lady Gaga herself has endorsed this. I mean, there have been so many arguments over copyrights, about the rights of stuff. You see things being pulled down from YouTube. But you have the artist who sees this YouTube video of this kid doing this cover song and shares it with the world, saying, "Watch this person covering my song. This is great." And that's really something that I acknowledge of her as an artist, as being a famous person in the public eye, just embracing people covering, like, not being covering their own work.
And it gets better. It gets better. Lady Gaga actually invited the girl to one of her shows in Canada and performed a duet in front of her audience. And she got
wow.
to meet the girl's stage. Yeah, it gets better. I mean, that's like you said, she embraced the little girl, and that's what artists need to do. And this girl is so excited. She's got to get on stage and do a duet of the song with Lady Gaga, her idol. And that's so wonderful that Lady Gaga is that kind of artist. Because a lot of artists, they don't do that. This is the first. This is one of the first times I've really seen this on this big of a stage, you know? I saw it before, but this is wonderful. This makes me like Lady Gaga just 100 times more, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Compared to other YouTube issues where Justin Bieber posted a video of himself singing, like singing, doing a private video of singing one of his songs, he put it on YouTube and the record label pulled it down.
Wow.
Like, it goes reverse, showing you, like, when you have the relationships with, like, having the permission to be like, this isn't just my music, this is everyone's music. Like, it's just two extremes about this girl, Maria, and how this is something, as a little girl, she will never forget for the rest of her life, no matter what she does, whether she becomes a professional musician, or a teacher, or an astronaut, or a firefighter, or a lawyer, or a doctor. No matter what, she'll always have this moment with being embraced by, at the moment, and one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
And so with 22 million other people, will never forget that, because this is incredible, like you said. I've never seen anything like that. That's a lot of people. 22 million people. That's a lot of people to come to your channel, and you definitely will never forget that. And neither will I, because I went to the channel, so 22 million and one.
You're 22 million and one. Yeah,
yes.
It's not just 22 million anymore. You have cast your vote, and it will show forever on the YouTube user. Like,
yes, and
the
she
hits
can,
on the page.
And she actually can play the piano and she can sing. I mean, the girl is really talented. So that's the other side of it. It's not like she's not. This is not a karaoke. Now, she's playing the piano, everybody, and singing live.
That is cool. Because I know when I search on YouTube a lot, I'll look for a particular song, and I'll find all these people just covering that song. And it's very cool that that can be allowed and that people can just share it, even whether you're talented or not. But as you said, this girl is talented.
Yes, and she made it to the Ellen show also. She made it to the Ellen show. Ellen had her on her show.
Very cool. Ellen, who had one season as an American Idol judge.
And
yes, probably
she
has seen a lot of talent.
Yes, she knows now. But I'm very impressed with this girl. She's going to go a long way. She's only 10. She's the same age as my daughter. She plays the piano. I guess she learned the song herself, figured it out. I don't think sheet music is available for it. She's got a good ear. So for her to do all that and to go through all that just to learn this song and all this attention, she has to be good. She has to be talented. So you go, Maria. You go, girl.
Excellent. All right. And just like that, Jay, we have our first guest. Just let me bring them into the show. And let me see. Let me press this button here. Hi, you're on Parents Kids Music. Is this Dennis?
Yes. How are you doing?
Excellent. This is Ian here in New York, and Jay in California. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm calling from Northampton, Mass.
Excellent. Home of many colleges in that area.
Oh, yeah, tons, yes.
Absolutely.
How are you doing, Dennis? Yeah, I was going to say hi to Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, we're glad you're here. And just so you know, Jay, I was speaking to Dennis before the show began, and he has such a unique musical background just growing up and where he is today. Dennis, would you like to share about that from your upbringings and the influences that you shared with me about your mother?
Okay, yeah, I grew up on a farm in Iowa. I was one of 11 kids, and the first music I was exposed to was, my mother sang in the choir, but she also had some old 78s of Broadway stuff. So I guess they probably weren't 78s, they were probably LPs, but of like Oklahoma and South Pacific, and my mother used to sing that a lot. And what I got from a very early age is the transformative nature of music, that she had a pretty hard life, and we didn't have a lot of money, but to see the effect that that music could have on her when she sang and when she listened, I think she never sat us down and said, this is, and music is important. It was just something in her bones as well as mine, I guess, that how you can take any situation and bring you out of it, at least temporarily. And she's still alive now. She's 98 years old. She lives in Phoenix.
Wow.
And I'm a songwriter, and she's been very, very encouraging. She's been great. So that's how I grew up.
So Ian, in Iowa, what type of music did your mom play for you as a kid?
I'm sorry?
I was saying, growing up in Iowa, what kind of music were you exposed to growing up in Iowa?
Oh, at first, just around the family, it would be like Broadway musicals and choir stuff. But then, as I started listening to the radio, there was KIOA in Des Moines was just a pop station. And so I had older brothers, and so they started listening to Motown, and then of course the Beatles, and then I had a transistor radio, and I would stay up late at night and listen. I could pick up Chicago stations, and that was always really cool, because I felt I was like really getting into something that no other kids were listening to when I could pick up Chicago.
Wow. So, I was going to ask you also, like, did you have any favorite musicals growing up there? Did you attend any musical plays or anything like that in that state?
Let's see. There were a few local bands. We lived about 60 miles from Des Moines, and there would be once in a while I grew up in the 50s, and so I'm 60 years old, so I grew up mostly in the 60s, and at that time at schools they would have like a variety show, or somebody who would come through and visit the school, and they'd visited South America or Africa, and they would bring in all these instruments, and that was very cool. It's probably not as emphasized as much in schools now, but But back then, that was a very big deal to have a musician come in. And that's what I do now. I play it. I'm mostly a children's songwriter and performer, and go into schools. And it's very cool to see how young kids respond to music, and it takes me back.
So how, could you get into detail how they do respond when you go into the schools and you do the songwriting and storytelling, and how do they respond when you perform for them? Are they happy?
Are they jubilant? They're very just curious at first, and just they are so open to it. And it's interesting to watch it change. I play for kids from 3 to 9 or so, and when they're really young, they're just adorable. It's just, it is just so much fun to play with them and see how they will just focus on what's going on and on the words. And I have a few songs where I have mistakes put in them or something that doesn't make sense. They try to look for it, but as they get older, 7 or 8, it suddenly becomes, they're exposed to a lot of other pop music, and so I'm sort of, I drop into the not cool phase pretty quickly in the upper grades.
So Dennis, do you bring an instrument also? Like, do you bring a xylophone or a guitar?
I bring my guitar. Yeah, I write and play on guitar.
So are they curious about the guitar when you bring it? Do you explain to them what it's for, and how does that go?
I explain them what it does, and that they're always very curious about. They always want to touch it and get distracted with it. So yeah, I let them do that. I'll make the chords and let them strum.
And do you have a CD for kids now that you currently have out? Is there something that you have?
Oh yeah, I have several. You can go to dogbonetown.com and listen to my stuff.
Dogbonetown.
Dogbonetown.com, yeah. Dogbonetown is actually a song that I wrote with my daughter who's 19, and it's about her. When her dog was killed by a car, we wrote a song about it, and it's kind of a sad song, but I think it's okay to have a song. It's a reality for kids, losing things, grief, and so I had this song Dogbone Town about what happens to her dog, so.
Okay. So how many CDs do you have for children?
I have 3 CDs for children. And they're like, they've won Parents' Choice Awards. And thanks.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So are parents very, have you been, like when you go to the school, do you perform in the classroom or you do the auditorium? Both.
Well, no, I generally perform at smaller venues, like in the classroom, and then I play at libraries. A few times I play with a band, and we'll play at a bigger at the auditorium or something. But generally, I do pretty intimate stuff.
Okay. Now, do you show the kids how to write music also? Like when you're in there, you write a song.
I have
done
that. I did a workshop a while ago with writing music with kids who had, I was asked to come to this place where kids who had lost a parent, one of the parents had died. And so it was a community project helping kids with the grieving process. And so I would go in and write songs with kids who were like ages 7 to 10, and it was pretty amazing to see.
I like that.
To kids who really were fairly quiet, or perhaps they could be construed as inarticulate about what was going on, but certainly couldn't talk about it directly. When you give them the outlet of putting their feelings into music, it was pretty amazing. I was really amazed at what kids came up with, what direct feelings they could put into a song, and then they would sing them for their family, and it was a very powerful moment.
Kids
at very early age, I think that everybody really has a tremendous amount of creativity, and sometimes it seems daunting that people could write songs, but kids are very, once you're sort of like, drawing or something, when you're not told you can't do it, then you just do it. So,
right.
But I think pretty early on we get told we can't, we're not good at that.
So Dennis, what do you think about the taking the music out of the school thing that's happened, where they're taking the instruments out and cutting down programs? Give us your thoughts on that. After school music programs and the cutting of musical instruments,
oh.
They're taking music and sports and art out to schools.
Oh,
what do you,
yeah,
what
yeah,
is
I,
your,
I think it's horrible. it's like taking recess away. It just sends such a strong message that that art isn't important. I think art helps us in so many ways. But I mean, also it helps intellectually. You're a better student. You'll do better in other subjects if you're allowed to kind of express yourself through art. It just leads to so much. It helps. I think it's good for the brain. I think it's good for emotions. It's criminal to just cut that out. It's ridiculous.
Well, you are my hero because you're going into the schools and putting it back in. You're my hero, Dennis. You're doing that, and I'm so proud of you. I mean, this is a great thing you're doing for the kids, going out, teaching them, having workshops, sharing music with them, things they might not have been able to experience. You're my hero, man. So I give you big ups,
well,
man. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, so I'd like to know any final thoughts on really where we are going with influencing, of the role that parents have to influence children when it comes to music, whether it's something that they accept or not, and how your children have, like yourself, get to become responsible adults and just live the lives that they deserve. And what can parents do?
I think that I watch it when I play with kids and their parents are there. The kids are very into it, but they also have an eye on their parents. They're taking cues from their parents. And parents are often very self-conscious, as kids aren't, about singing. And kids pick that up. Parents need to get over. It's a stretch, but taking a risk, and they need to sing around their kids. They need to dance around their kids. They need to just have the, take the risk to look foolish, because you can't look foolish to a 4-year-old. And I think that sends such a strong message to kids when their parents start to sing, as well as teachers. Teachers often are very reticent about singing. And everybody can sing. I've never met anybody who can't sing. And I just sing. If you sing, others will too.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Yeah, it was great. Thank you for having me.
You're my hero,
thank
Dennis.
You,
thanks. Keep doing that. The good job.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have an excellent day.
All right. Thanks. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was great. Next, we are bringing on Alvin. Alvin, how are you?
Fine, Ian. How are you?
Excellent, and let me introduce you to Jay out in California. Alvin, Jay Alvin.
Hi, Alvin.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Pleasure to meet you.
Excellent, and today I'm speak with Alvin before the show. Alvin is someone, I'm like, first guest, doesn't have kids, but at one point he was a kid, and I'd love to hear about your musical upbringing and how it's brought you into the adult that you are today.
Okay. My background is quite interesting, Ian. Even though my name is Alvin Heisong, I have a mixed background. On my father's side is German. He was born and raised in Indiana. And from my mother's side, she is a third-generation Spaniard. So I've had a combination of music in my background from Spanish music and from, good old American music. I grew up as a kid in a family. Both were from the military, and they both were enthusiasts of the music of the 40s and 50s and 60s. We're talking here, when I was a child, we would listen to the Drifters, the Coasters, Buddy Holly, all the music that today we enjoy in all those PBS stations when they have those special nights. That was the music that I grew up with. But at the same time, I started to discover my own taste for music when I was a young kid in the 70s. I remember that at home I would listen to my parents' music, which I still do today. It's my favorite music. But then as a youngster, I would listen to music such as, I don't remember the group, Boston, Kansas, groups like Aerial Speedwagon, and, you know, all those music from the 70s became, I would say, part of my peer pressure from my schoolmates. That was the music they were listening to at the time, while I at home would enjoy more the music of the 50s and 60s.
Wow, so you went from listening to kind of soul, the Coasters, the Drifters, and Buddy Holly, to growing up listening to Boston, Kansas, and Aerial Speedwagon. That's kind of totally the opposite. So you got both worlds. That's pretty good, Alvin. I think that's a wide variety of music. So you said when you went to school, most of the kids, they preferred the more rock stuff.
Well, you know how it is when you're a kid. You know, you can say that you succumb under pressure and become part of the group. But and yes, I had my favorites. I can remember at the time one of my favorite groups was Cheap Trick, which was very book. It also was very big in the 70s and. You know, the Journeys of the World and the Queen. But still nowadays, today, in year 2011, if you look at my iPod, most of the music that I do have in my iPod, I don't carry 8-track tapes anymore, music from the Time Live Music Collection. Once those collections start coming out in CDs, I start buying all these collections where I can actually listen to the music that my parents were listening at the time. I think though that music and that music that I heard in my parents' house basically gave me this tradition, all American traditional formation, even though I was living in another country.
Right. Right. So, tell us a little about some of the Spanish, when you were a kid, some of the Spanish music that you were listening to, the Latino stuff that you were exposed to. Were you exposed to a lot of that also?
There is a very famous musician that was very big in New York in the 70s. His name is Tito Puente.
Okay.
And Tito Puente was one of the founders of the salsa music in New York and in Puerto Rico. Another very, very famous singer who actually passed away a few years ago, Celia Cruz from Cuba. I don't know if you're aware that Celia Cruz she started singing with Tito Puente in the early 70s, and then she became her own band, and she became very, very famous with her salsa music, which she, you know, it made salsa the icon that it is today around the world, those two musicians.
Okay. Well, Alvin, tell us how kids respond to the salsa music and the Spanish music. You know, how does a kid, when the kids get into it, tell us a little bit how they get exposed to it and how they enjoy it. Share that with our audience from your standpoint.
Well, you know what, I think because we're in the decade of the crossover, now a lot of kids find it that it's cool to listen to, and I'm going to name a singer which actually doesn't play salsa music, but it represents what salsa music represents, you know. Now with this crossover, people like Ricky Martin and Shakira, which have crossed over to the U.S. market, but also they still sing in Spanish. That has created a following of younger kids that want to try something different, that want to not remain the status quo, and they see salsa of something that is, you know, not as hard as it seems when they start taking some, you know, practicing it and dancing it, and they enjoy it very much. And this is something that I've seen in this decade compared to, you know, maybe 10 years or 15 years ago, where salsa was not actually followed by kids, it was more followed by adults.
That is great. So the kids are realizing that music is great and it's fun and it's not old timey, and it seems like it's turned over a leaf to where now that most kids are like, because I see a lot of kids loving salsa music now, even here out here in San Francisco. You know, it's taking on a whole new life of itself. So I'm glad that you shared that, Alvin, because people need to know the history and they need to know about salsa music on our show and how kids like it, because now, like you said, everything is crossover. The kids, they like everything now. Nothing is close. No, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm learning from you. So you continue.
I would say that even though the salsa is not. See, there's two things here. Let's speak a little bit about Hispanic kids and non-Hispanic kids. Remember, the salsa music is a Caribbean beat. It's something that primarily comes from Puerto Rico and Cuba, and it was heavily promoted in the 60s and 50s in New York. It was one of the genre that actually was born in New York. A lot of kids in this country come from Mexican descent. You're talking about 70% of the population. And many of those kids also now are second, third, even fourth generation Mexicans. Even these kids are gravitating more to the salsa music than from the Latino music from their own countries. Salsa music has crossed over from the small island of Puerto Rico and Cuba into every place from Argentina all the way to the north of South America, you know, where Venezuela is. So it has not only crossed over to the U.S., to the non-Hispanic kids, also Mexican and Colombian and Venezuelan, and adopted salsa as a way of expressionism.
Ah, I see. I see it coming through Miami and getting over here, and I see. So you said all cultures now have experienced this now. It's took a life of its own. And I even hear it, like, on a lot of the TV programs, and a lot of the stuff that comes on TV, a lot of the Latino shows, so salsa has taken a big stake in the music scene now. And I've noticed also in dance music, in the disco clubs, they've also added that type of music in there with that beat. But they put a little salsa in there to give it that movement. So, yeah, you're right, Alvin. I've noticed that. That's great. So I'm going to ask you, you know, so that's funny that you got the Spanish thing and then you were in Iowa. I mean not in Iowa, but you got the Spanish thing and then you also do the salsa stuff. Do you play instruments yourself?
You know, I have never partaken in let's say officially in a band, but I've had opportunities to to play a little bit of the conga when I've been, you know, and when we create, you know, let's say groups to play salsa music. I play some of the conga. I'll play along with the band, but never been officially part of one. So that would be the only instrument that I actually play myself. And I try to dabble a little bit in the harmonica.
Okay. So my other question is, did you go see any of these bands with your friends at school? Did you go see Boston? Did you go see Kansas? Did you actually go to an event with your friends to see Errol Speedwagon or any of these groups out there when you were young in the 70s?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, even while living in the island of Puerto Rico, Peter Frampton was there at the time when his big hit, Show Me the Way, was around. Visiting at that time the island, we had people like Chip Trick came over, Journey, Sting.
Wow.
Mr. Wells. Ariel Speedwagon was there. So many of those groups actually visited the island. And after I moved to the U.S., then I can tell you the list is endless. I've seen people like the Electric Light Orchestra, and I saw people like, Bruce Springsteen in 1981. I've seen the Stones three times. So, yes, I do enjoy that music, even though because I grew up with those groups when I was, in the early 70s. But nowadays, mm-hmm. today, if you come to my home and you have dinner, the first thing you probably will hear was something from the Drifters. You know, there goes my baby, or something from the Coasters, or because that's the music that I really remember as a child with my parents, which provided me that foundation of family.
Okay, so now what do you do with your nieces and nephews? I don't know if you have any kids. What do you do when your cousins and nieces and their kids come over? What do you share with them, or do you teach any of this? Do you share the Drifters with them, or? Got a question. That's the question I'm asking. When kids come over to see you or greet you, I don't know if you have any kids, but if you do, could you share some of the experiences you have with the kids that you deal with?
Well, absolutely not. I have many kids visiting this house because I have friends with children, and two words I can tell you that comes out of their mouth: hip hop.
Do you have any hip hop to play? Like we have a Latino group out here, very good friends of mine, the Escovedo family, Sheely and all of them, and they kind of put the hip hop with the salsa, and Pete Escovedo kind of has the timbales and they're doing the thing, and that's kind of hip hop. They kind of do it, but they add the Latino flavor in there. Do they like that kind of hip hop, or basically this is the more rapping thing that's going on out there?
What I have seen is more of the rapping thing going on.
Okay.
It's amazing how this genre, if we can call it that way, has taken over the minds of many young adults. And for some reason, I have seen people that have outgrown that. I know the genre has been around for at least 10 years, and I know kids now are in their 20s that used to listen to that music now, and now they don't anymore. Thank God they have moved. They have moved on to something a bit more fascinating as jazz or just good old pop music.
Yeah, thank goodness. One group that's responsible for that is called The Roots. And they're actually musicians. They play hip-hop, but they're actually playing it. I think they're on a late-night show now. I think it's Jimmy Kimmel or somebody's show. And
Jimmy Fallon.
The
they're the house band on Jimmy Fallon. I remember seeing them for the first time in 1999 and being blown right away that it's just not like this whole like drug dealer gangster let's kill people thing, but that they actually are they're a band that just happens to rap.
Yeah,
okay.
There's some positive stuff. There's some positive things that, like you said, the kids have. Thank God that they've grown out of that violence thing, and some of them have grown up. So now we just got to work on the rest of them.
I think that is basically, if I may interject, I think that's more of a rebellious stage that all children go through, knowing that I know that my parents hate this music, so I love it kind of situation. once they start establishing their own identities and personalities, after they outgrow this hip-hop or notorious kind of music, they start, going after something they really like.
Right. Well, we should hope that they do, because that's definitely important that they be exposed to all type of music and not just one brand. Wow, so it's been great talking to you, man. You've took us to a whole another scene. I mean, we got the Latino thing going, and we got the Drifters, and well, I just really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us, and hopefully one day I might come over to your house and eat and get listen to some Zipsters or, you know, listen to some
Absolutely.
Buddy Holly.
You will. If you come here, that's the first thing you'll probably hear. You can
Absolutely.
Be my guest.
Alvin, thank you very much for joining us today, and I shall speak to you soon. And thank you for just sharing just your musical insights.
Yeah.
Okay,
sure,
thank
sure.
you,
thank
and you have a good afternoon. Nice to meet you.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you, Alvin. And coming on next is someone who is, I hear she's having a big thing happening this weekend. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello, how are
hello?
You? I'm Ian here in New York. Hello, Irene. It's Ian and Jay. So say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Irene.
Thank you for calling us.
Yes,
yes, there's a rumor that Irene is getting married this weekend.
Yes, I'm getting married on Sunday. Very excited.
Oh. Wow, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So
no,
I
was going to just ask you to get married. I guess I'm just a little late here. Jay.
too late, Jay. She's taken. And
always get the good ones, Ian.
Yeah, and I'm very happy with her choice and everything. She's probably one of my longest and like closest friends. So it's gonna be. And so I'll be at the wedding this Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it. So before we get to that, I know that I've been talking to Irene for a while about being on this show, where we talk about music and the relationships that people have with their parents and how it leads them to who they are. So can tell me about your background, Irene, and when your first experiences of listening to music and where God went from there.
I wasn't really passionate about music when I was growing up. My parents listened to ABBA, Karen Carpenter, Stevie Wonder, and, you know, all those old time music. They made me take piano lessons, and I really hated it. When I immigrated here to the United States when I was 11, I really wanted to fit in, so I started listening to the radio, and, you know, whatever was popular, that's what I listened to. And I liked it, but I wasn't really passionate about any of it. It was stuff like TLC, Ace of Base, you know, things like that. It wasn't until the end of high school where I began to get out of that herd mentality and just I started to do my own thing. And I really gravitated more towards, like, alternative, like Everclear, Godsmack, things like that. I guess the first band that I really could say that I loved was Linkin Park. I know it's, like, not that many people like it, but, you know, I love Linkin Park. But ever since then, I just started listening to music more, and it's more part of my life now.
Wow. So you don't like ABBA?
It's okay. I mean, like, if it's on the radio, I'll listen to it, but yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I don't have a lot of ABBA in my collection.
So it's one of those things where your musical tastes are just distinctly different from your parents.
Yeah, well, I think my brothers really influenced me more than my parents did. When I was growing up, I saw them listening to Billy Idol, and they'd, you know, pop their collars up and have the Ray-Bans and all that. It was silly, but that's what they liked, and I think they influenced me more, really.
I don't have any problems with the ABBA or Stevie Wonder or that, but the piano lessons part, Irene, you said you didn't like the piano lessons. What did they do to you?
Well, they made I have two older brothers and a younger sister, and they made all of us take piano lessons. My two older brothers took to it. They, you know, they can play really well. But with me, I don't know why. I just really hated it. I did whatever I could to get out of it, and my My mom really wanted me to do it, did not want to do it. And now I'm really regretting it because, you know, I want to learn how to play beautiful music and all that, but I the best thing I can do is read notes, and that's it.
Well, that's good. That's the best thing. That's one. Most people can't do that part of it. I'm proud of you still with the piano lessons because most of the time when parents make their kids, like I have a daughter, she's 10. If I make her play the piano, she's going to resent that. You kind of just put it in front of them and look the other way as they like it, then they jump on it. But anytime they make you in do the stuff, you know, most, even me, my dad would have, you know, made me play an instrument. I probably would have did something different just because he's making me do it. So it wasn't your fault. So I can understand that because you should never make your, even if you're ice skating or you're roller skating, you make your kid do things out there to our listening audience. The kid probably might resent it because it's something that he has to do. It becomes a chore rather than fun. So, yeah, I understand that. So the other thing I was going to ask you, you said you like Everclear.
I listen to it, but I like their music.
Have you ever went to see them at an event with your siblings or your mom? Have they ever
No, I've never been to a concert.
Oh, Ian.
Wow.
No, never. Wow. I've never been to a concert. I've been wanting to go to a Linkin Park concert. I know they've come by here a couple of times, but I just, you know, never had a chance to. But Jonathan, my fiancé, doesn't really like that kind of thing, so he wouldn't go with me.
Well, that's a chore. Now you're getting married. You'll be the boss because you're getting married. So now you can demand to go see Linkin Park. So there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Ian's always going to the concert. Maybe your husband might let Ian take you to see, you know, one of his great bands, Fish or something.
Fish, I heard about that.
Did your mother raise you with music? Or, you know, did she listen to a certain type of music when you were a kid? Did she have, like, stuff that she liked?
I don't really remember so much about, like, music when I was growing up. Like I said, it was mostly, like, ABBA. That's what we sang to, like, in the car. It was pretty much it. It wasn't really a big part of my life back then.
I like ABBA because they had all those white outfits. They looked kind of cool, long hair. They looked like they were from heaven or something.
Yeah.
There was nothing bad about ABBA. You know, they kind of look heavenly. Nice and soft music, so... What about the Stevie Wonder stuff? Did you mention that? Did you like any of his stuff when you were a kid?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I sang along to him also.
Okay. Did you ever have fights with the radio, like in the car? Like me, was talking to one guest, and they like were having fights with their brothers and sisters. Who's listening to what on the mom? Did you ever have like radio fights, like pillow fights, what they call radio fights in the car? Like, I want to listen to this. No, I want to listen to ABBA. No, I want to listen to Everclear. I want to listen to the car. You have that going on?
No, whoever was driving had the control of the vehicle pretty much.
Oh, God, you guys are...
I couldn't wait until I could drive.
There was a dictatorship in the car, whoever's driving the car.
Yeah.
How far did you get in your piano lessons, other than reading? Did you get to, like, book two?
I did get very far, but, you know, I just hated it, and then when I stopped taking piano lessons, I just forgot about everything. I mean, I can probably play, like, one or two pieces right now, but not much.
Do you own any technology, like an iPod or iPad, anything that plays music, CD player, you know?
Yeah. I do. And I just got a guitar recently, so I'm trying to learn how to play that.
Okay. So what about like, an iPod? Do you have an iPod?
Yeah, I have an iPhone, actually. I have my iTunes playlist here.
Did you share some of the music that you're listening to now as an adult that you like? Because, like, a couple of things is on your iPod, like maybe three things?
I like Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, and, like I said, Linkin Park.
Okay, so you didn't rock out from ABBA. You didn't went totally to the...
The oldest thing I have in there is probably, I don't know, like Al Green. I like Al Green.
okay, God, you were there. Okay, God, you like a lot of different things. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very, that's good. I mean, that's really a big stretch, you know. That's like real music, real musicians, real things, and that is so good. Wow. And you're a musician, and you know what it takes to be a musician. You have a great, we got a thing on our show, me and you came up called Music Grade. I think I'll give you a good A, because not only do you know, you're either a musician, you go from one stream to the another, and you can still play a couple of pieces on the piano, and you listen to all this great music from rock, soul, to pop. You've been exposed, and that's. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two older brothers and a younger sister.
You did say that, and you mentioned that they still can play the piano, right?
Yeah, the two older ones can play piano really well. The younger one, not so well. She's kind of like me. She wasn't really into it.
Okay. So are they playing in any bands, or are they just playing for fun? Or are they playing at any piano bars? Or are they playing for any audiences out there?
No, just for fun.
Okay.
Just for fun, for
family. Did it help them in their education? Do you think by them learning that instrument, did it help them in their schooling?
I'm not really sure. I mean, we didn't really talk about that. It did help them get girls.
Okay. As you're honest.
Well, so, you know, musicians honestly. Are hot.
What'd you say, Ian?
I'm changing subject. We have a question from a viewer. I mean, someone is asking me about the exact question. Ask her about picking her wedding song, maybe. That's the exact
Well, Jonathan and I listen to it's like one of the radio stations online where all they play is wedding music and love songs. So that's how we pretty much picked our wedding music. You know, we'd write down the songs that we liked, and we pared it down to top five or whatever, and that's how we picked.
And then what was the top five? Or did you share the top five with us?
Well, for our first dance, we ended up going with "My Valentine" by Martina McBride, and a few other songs that we liked is "Lucky" by Colby Calais and Jason Mraz, and "I'm Yours" by Jason Mraz. A lot of guitars.
Okay. Wow. All those songs, that's hard to pick from.
Yeah, it was. We had a little, bickering and stuff about what we wanted, but, in the end, we decided on stuff.
Are you going to have a band at your wedding? Is it going to be live musicians?
Yes, it's going to be live musicians. He did not want a DJ at all, even though it would have saved us a lot of money. He wanted live DJs, live people, good music.
Wow, you're going to have a beautiful day. That's going to be so wonderful for you. Wow. Well, that's good that you employ some musicians. That helps keep parents, kids, and music our show alive, because we want to make sure all the musicians are playing and all the kids are playing music and listening. So. You've been a service to the community. We're so glad that you and your husband to be have invested into the music scene. So that's a great thing. So do you have any favorite songs right now that you like? Like, it could be Nine Inch Nails, but like a song that you could share with us, like maybe at this time, your top two songs that you're listening to right now on your iPod that you keep like, hey, that song's great.
Well, Jonathan hates it because I play the same playlist over and over and over again, like in car rides and all that. I know it's kind of old now, but Bulletproof, I like that one. I forgot who sings it. Oh, LaRue. That's one of them. And what's another one? I play Lucky, I guess, all the time also.
Well, I mean, we love having you on our show. You've been a great guest. And
thank you.
That ends my question. I love having you on this show. Congratulations. I'm glad that you joined our show. You've been a wonderful, wonderful guest. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have an excellent day, week, and I will see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not Saturday. We will see about that.
Oh, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Saturday or Sunday. Hopefully Saturday.
Hopefully Saturday. We will
yeah.
see. But I'm glad that we finally were able to have this happen and you were on the show, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a great collection of guests we have today.
Wow, you are not lying, Ian. You've done it again, by George. I mean, you picked
them. I mean, seriously, just to think that for a few hours, I didn't even know if the show was going to happen. My phone was dead. And, everything came together. We had some really great guests. And,
yes.
And you know, the best part is it's only the first show this week. We have another show on Friday. And
we're
going to have a big announcement. Yes, we do. Yes,
wow,
we do. I'm very excited. It's going to be the same back time, same back channel. On Friday, we have a big announcement we're going to make, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, my question to you is, what is your treasure batnet?
That is a great question. My treasure is that I have a family. I have a home. I have a place I can sleep. I have plenty of food. And that my phone works, and that my
and that I
got a beautiful new hard drive for my Mac, because I was running out of space because it was all music. So I got a new 250 gig internal hard drive, and I also upgraded to the latest Mac OS X. Called Snow Leopard, even though it's actually an even newer one is coming out later this year called Lion. The fact is, my computer's up to date, so I can, and I have so much more space, so I can download more music. How great is that?
That's great. That's wonderful.
What is your treasure.net?
My treasure.net. I have a wonderful host, Ian Eisenberg, and what a great team of producers. I have the Goldwaters Group. And everybody out there, and I just like our producers and the show. This is my treasure today. We have such a great show. This is my treasure today. What a great team to put this show together. And that's my treasure, that man. Great people.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all on Friday.
All on Friday.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.